Seven Lessons for Leading in Crisis. Author, Bill George. Crisis, Danger, and Opportunity. Crisis is the defining moment for a leader. As such, leaders should understand their own inner compasses and calibrate them to serve as the most reliable instruments for navigating treacherous seas. People who are intent on going in a meaningful direction have a chance of finding their way through the fog of crisis and of bringing others alongside with them. By contrast, organizations managed by people whose main goal is to preserve their own power or prestige will inevitably founder when crisis beckons. Ultimate test of leadership. In Chinese, the character for the word crisis is made up of two symbols, danger and opportunity. This is exactly what it represents for you as a leader. Although there is always the danger of failing, guiding people through a major problem is your best opportunity to develop your leadership. That's why it is recommended that young leaders get down on the playing field early in their careers rather than commenting from the press box. The seven lessons. Lesson number one, face reality, starting with yourself. Until you acknowledge that you're facing a serious problem, including your role in creating it, you cannot move to solve it. Crisis isn't going to fix itself, so denying its existence can only make things worse. That reality must start with you and your acknowledgement of your role in the crisis itself. Then you have to guide your organization to face reality as well. Lesson number two, don't be Atlas, get the world off your shoulders. You cannot get through this alone, so don't try to carry the whole world on your shoulders. Reach out to others inside your organization and in your personal life to share the burden and help you come out a winner. This is a great opportunity to strengthen chemistry within your team, because the strongest bonds are built in crisis. Faced with a pending crisis, some leaders take the whole burden on themselves. They retire to their offices to ruminate about the problems and try to work out solutions in their heads. People in the organization start speculating about what's happening with their boss, who seems to be withdrawn. Then the rumors start, and they are always worse than reality. Eventually, his denial was so palpable that a group of former executives turned against him and led a successful effort to force his loyal board to oust him. To avoid the pitfalls of carrying the world on your shoulders, you also need support from people outside the company to get through it. Your external support team cares about you personally and is far less inclined to judge your actions in the company. Lesson number three, dig deep for the root cause. If you move too fast to devise solutions, you may underestimate the depth of the problem or misjudge its root cause. The problem may be more serious than anyone appreciates. If you surround yourself only with positive people, your team may reinforce your natural instincts to solve the problem before it's fully understood. Lesson number four, get ready for the long haul. It is tempting to think of crises as events to weather until things return to normal. Even when an organization is in a full-fledged crisis mode, many people assume that they just need to make tactical changes to get through the crisis, like cutting back production schedules until demand comes back. It is just a matter of time, they argue, until the business returns to where it was in its heyday. Like sailors at sea, they batten down the hatches until the storm passes. Lesson number five, never waste a good crisis. In The Prince, Italian philosopher Niccolo Machiavelli advised his followers, never waste the opportunities offered by a good crisis. Although it is hard to recognize at the time, a crisis provides a unique opportunity to create transformative change in your organization. As a 22-year-old Princeton graduate, Wendy Kopp founded Teach for America, TFA, in 1989, with the vision of ensuring that every child had access to quality education. In 1995, after several years of initial success, TFA hit the wall. Working 100 hours per week and facing overwhelming problems, Kopp considered shutting down her fledgling organization, or resigning to let someone else run it. After a great deal of soul-searching, Kopp decided to use the crisis to refocus TFA on its core mission. She reduced payroll 40%, shut down two strategic initiatives that were transforming education, and created the organization's first five-year plan. Had it not been for Kopp's tenacity and her commitment to TFA's mission, the organization would have never survived the crisis. Instead, Kopp used the crisis as an opportunity to reposition TFA for sustainable success. Lesson number six, you're in the spotlight, follow true north. As a leader in business or a nonprofit, you're constantly in the public eye. Your statements are widely quoted. People inside and outside your organization speculate what you're thinking. The modern media world with its multiplicity of new information sources presents myriad pitfalls and opportunities. people are so nervous and hungry for information that they hang on every word from their leaders. Try to glean clues from their body language, facial expressions, and even the color of their ties or suits. Being transparent. The key to handling public issues is to be open, straightforward, and transparent. In a crisis, both employees and external observers are extremely sensitive to any attempt to dissemble or hide the truth. These will quickly be exposed, especially if subsequent events reveal your statements to be inaccurate or misleading. In transparency, Warren Bennis, Daniel Goldman, and James O'Toole write about the importance of creating a culture of candor. Where such a culture does not exist, information doesn't flow freely through the organization, and its leaders often don't know what's going on. The only way to create such a culture is for leaders to be candid themselves. As a leader, you need to keep people informed of what's going on. The greater your openness, the more people will rely on you to provide them with the inside view, and the less they will rely on the rumor mill. Lesson number 7. Go on offense. Focus on winning now. Look at crisis as a gift. It provides you a golden opportunity that may not come again to reshape your business and your industry and emerge as the winner. But you got to be bold and focused to seize it. 7 steps to focus on winning. Here are 7 steps to keep your organization focused on winning in depth of the crisis. 1. Rethink your industry strategy. To figure out what your markets will look like after the crisis requires a keen understanding of the changing needs of your customers. 2. Shed your weaknesses. A crisis presents the opening to eliminate your organization's weaknesses, especially if it is too bureaucratic or too slow-moving to be competitive. Reshape the industry to play your strengths. The bold strategy coming out of a crisis is to move your entire industry to make your strengths the basis for competition while exposing your competitors' weaknesses. 4. Make vital investments during the downturn. Intel offers evidence that you cannot wait to make vital investments you need to win in the emerging market. 5. Keep key people focused on winning. During a crisis, there's a risk that your entire organization gets so focused on keeping the ship afloat that no one is planning ahead. 6. Create your company's image as the industry leader. With public criticism of Wall Street mounting and the industry defending itself, emerging financial service leaders are envisioning changes needed in the capital markets. 7. Develop rigorous execution plans. The final step is often overlooked by visionary leaders who devise new strategies, but fail to underpin them with detailed plans for marketplace execution. Sound execution requires not only attention to detailed planning, but adaptability to changing market conditions to alter tactics to meet customer needs.